having brothers in the ministry not only understand the talk, they understand the way to relate, they also help us think biblically. The Hartford Institute did some research and they said that among pastors, half the clergy had thought about leaving their congregation or ministry altogether in recent years. Helping one another think biblically is absolutely vital in pastoral ministry.
From Tri-State Bible College and the Appalachian Ministry Institute, this is the Level Paths Podcast. We're glad you've taken some time to join us. My name is Chris Weigel. It's no secret that having a little help now and then is a good thing. There is nothing more anxiety-inducing than knowing that a big task is ahead, and you're the only one to do it, and you're not going to have any help. Our pastors are not immune to this. As a matter of fact, pastors have one of the loneliest jobs out there. Research tells us that an alarming number of pastors are leaving ministry work altogether. The topic on this episode of Level Paths is community among pastors. Rex and Dr. Matt will explore the problems of isolation and lack of fellowship pastors face. But before they do, I want to let you know about November 5th, 2024. It's the next quarterly Pastors Networking Coffee at Tri-State Bible College. If you're a pastor in the South Point, Ohio area, it's a great time to get together and spend the morning with fellow pastors. It's in the Broomhall Bible Research Center at TSBC, and it begins at 9 a.m. on November 5th. Check out tsbc.edu for more information. Also, be on the lookout in February for the Pastors Dinner at TSBC. The plans are still in the works, and we'll have more information about that coming up soon. And one more thing. If your church or ministry is looking ahead into the fall for an opportunity to collect a harvest offering, Tri-State Bible College has that opportunity ready to go. The TSBC Harvest Offering helps Bible students fulfill their ministries. The TSBC Harvest Offering will be up and running through Thanksgiving. If this is something in which you'd like to participate, visit tsbc.edu. Now, community among pastors. Here's Rex.
Welcome back to the Level Paths Podcast. My name is Rex Howe, and I serve as the president of Tri-State Bible College. With my partner, Matt Shamblin, we lead the Level Paths Podcast as part of the Appalachian Ministry Institute here at TSBC. Brother Matt, we have an important topic today as we are moving from the state of the church in our previous podcast here at the beginning of this season to talking about something that's really important for pastors.
Yeah, Rex, I'm a Southern Baptist, and as Southern Baptists are networked with other pastors. That's kind of the way that we're independent Baptist churches, autonomous Baptist churches, but united together for the purpose of missions. And that by theory is to bring us together, but too often it's only a theory and not reality. And so these fellowships, it's easy for them to kind of get set on the back burner because of just the pressing stuff of ministry. But pastors fellowshipping with one another, encouraging one another, strengthening one another, challenging one another, these are very important elements of pastoral ministry, easily can be put to the wayside. You know, Rex, we brought up this topic recently. There's been a lot of talk about pastoral burnout, and you and I were talking about this, and I thought this would be a great topic for our podcast to just talk about why pastoral community or community among pastors is so important.
As we get started here, Matt, we want to start with Scripture. This is our heartbeat here at Tri-State and in the Institute and on the podcast. So before we assume that we need community, brother, the Scriptures tell us that we need it, don't they?
They absolutely do. When you look in the New Testament, there is multiple emphasis on the relationship of Christians with one another. I mean, even when we see that basic foundation of the early church, what were they doing? They were committing themselves to the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. And so there is a fellowship, that community built right in. But also, when we continue to read through the book of Acts, we hear of pastors, of elders in plurality. And so it's not just that single guy out there on his own, but also when we look to the New Testament, there is a plurality of elders, and many would say, well, that's within the local church. I think that's true, but there's a recognition that in the first century, these are pastors serving at a time and with others who are writing letters to other churches and interacting with other churches. And so that fellowship is so, so very important.
I think of Appalachia, and I know we're going to look at some specific texts in a second and look at some accountability to maintain the biblical perspectives on life and ministry. But I'm thinking of Appalachia as you're talking. One of the Appalachian values that Loyal Jones talks about is independence. And then there's, he doesn't come out and say tribalism, but we know that's something that comes, if you kind of read his work, you can see that surfacing. So because of the independence, because of the tribalism, pastors can isolate. There's something that happens to us when we isolate ourselves. There are some negative things that can take place. And so let's look at 1 Timothy a little bit as we think about the accountability that the pastoral epistles call us to in walking with God and community. What do you see there?
Well, Paul tells his son in the faith, Timothy, I mean, these are some of the final words that Paul would ever write. And he tells him that he's got to manage his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. And if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the house of God? And so when we're thinking about pastoral community, one of the elements that's so important within pastoral community is the accountability that comes in just walking with God. It is easy within pastoral ministry to just get caught up in the day-to-day routine, whether it's somehow administering or managing the church and thinking about what's to come and writing sermons and dealing with biblical texts. And it's a crazy thought, but it is easy to deal with biblical text and not have much of a walk with God. As I was preparing for this podcast, I watched a short clip of an interview with Paul Tripp. Paul Tripp needs to be a guy that every pastor reads and listens to. He talked about, in some research that they did, they found that it was too common among pastors that they have no devotional time for themselves. And I mean, think about this. You've been given the responsibility to lead others in a walk with God, and you really don't have a nourished, flourishing walk with God yourself. And so that means that pastoral ministry can disintegrate into just an academic exercise, going through the motions, checking the boxes. And so community among pastors reminds us that we're to walk with God, and in walking with God, we're going to serve our family well. And that's what Paul tells Timothy, that he is to serve his family well. And as he serves his family, his ministry among his family prepares him for, and not just prepares, let me back up just a second, not just prepares, but also qualifies and or disqualifies him from leading his church.
Fred Sanders describes the Holy Spirit as connective. He connects all truth as we're fellowshipping, as we're talking about scripture. As you were talking about the devotional life of pastors, I was thinking of something that Greg Heisler says in his book, Spirit-Led Preaching. The goal of preaching is not merely the execution of a proper method. We get wrapped up in that in the week to week, but the proper end and goal of preaching is to witness Christ. And this is where the Holy Spirit is taking preaching, to witness Christ and Spirit-led obedience. That's the goal of preaching. And so if we as the preachers are wrapped up in just I executed the method, then, you know, we're lacking that devotional aspect of our work. Dan Wallace at DTS, I really appreciated, Matt, that he cautioned us early in our seminary journeys that as you continue in your studies and in ministry, you are going to have fuller and fuller lives and your families. Your lives are going to get fuller and fuller. If you do not approach your study devotionally, even your academic study devotionally, your life is going to lack devotion to Christ as Lord. And so he really emphasized that in his courses. But coming back to the family, let's just be honest for a second. Do you think that pastors feel guilty sometimes about putting the ministry aside to go spend time with family.
Absolutely, because the pressure is to constantly serve. And sometimes in many churches, this is way out of whack. The expectations for the pastor are expectations that a believer, a relationship the believer is to have with God and not with any human being. The expectation that you're going to be there at any call, that you're going to be there for everything, that you're going to be the answer to, that you're going to fix every situation. Those are expectations that a believer is to have with his or her relationship with God, not with any person, because that person's absolutely going to fail you. And we can't forget the thought that if we lose our families in ministry, then we've lost it all, and we've ultimately lost the ministry. It's said, the tale goes something like this, that Billy Sunday was looking out a window, looking over, I think, a pond near his home, and he said to his wife, "We've lost them. We've lost them all." And he was talking about his family. Billy Sunday is a name that does not resonate with many today. I mean, in fact, the name Billy Graham doesn't resonate with many any today, but he was the greatest evangelist of his time. And yet, seeing many, many people come to faith in Christ and yet failing with his own family. And that's a challenge. That's a difficult challenge. And I think the expectation is so unbiblical within many churches and among many believers that for a pastor to serve his family first and foremost is frowned upon, not encouraged. And whatever the expectations may be, and in some places they're good, some places they're not. Some places they're biblical, some places they're not. Ultimately, a pastor must serve his family, and he must carry out those biblical mandates above any type of cultural expectation. One of the things that happened during COVID is that many of us became TV preachers. You know, I remember many times, I'm recording this right now in my study, and many times I would go not far from here and preach to an empty sanctuary that was recorded and sent out through the internet. And one of the elements of accountability among pastors is to serve your church well. That was a challenge in COVID, and it became even more of a challenge when the congregations came back and you forgot to shepherd the church of God among you, whether it be your homiletics professor who could or could not be watching, whether it's your friends who may or not be watching, the people that you may want to impress with your homiletical skills. The truth is, we're not going to be held accountable to how we shepherded them. We're going to be held accountable to how we shepherded the church of God. I mean, I remember the words of the Apostle Peter, 1 Peter 5, he said, "Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples of the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." There's a lot of pressure. I mean, you can hear it there in what Peter writes. Exercising oversight, not under compulsion. So there is going to be leadership of your own heart. And in order to lead your heart well, because that means not just giving into the pressures of the ministry and not just going through the, but also leading your heart to serve the Lord. And so accountability is a big element. I've had conversations with pastors. I have a dear pastor friend, and he and I talk often. And when he would go through difficult times, there was times which I would seek to gently lead him. And when I go through difficult times, he seeks to gently lead me. And sometimes, as brothers in Christ, maybe it's not always as gentle. Maybe sometimes it's that rebuke. But that's a role that God gives us with the Word of God as well.
So there's this personal accountability. I need to be walking with God. It's my walk with God in which I experienced my calling to begin with. Then there's this accountability to serve your family well. And I think it's clear enough in Scripture to be bold to say Scripture demands that you take care of your family. Then the third level there is to serve your church well. That's your focus, your flock. Shepherd the flock of God among you. shepherd your flock well. And then the final layer here, to relate to other churches well. We're not in a competition, are we?
No, and it's easy for friendly competition that spurs one another on to love and good deeds becomes unfriendly competition, and we're just trying to beat out somebody else. It's important to remember, and this is not a cop-out, it's important to remember that it's Jesus who builds his church. That's what he said. He was the one who would build his church, and the gates of Hades would not prevail against it. We're called to be found faithful. We're not called to be in competition to others. And sometimes that can get really, really ugly. Some of my dearest friends are pastors, and those pastors are a constant reminder of loving others well, relating to others well, that accountability. When I hear them, and as I talk to them, and some live in other states, they are serving well. And it is a reminder, though every church ought to seek to carry out the Great Commission as if they were the only ones doing that, there is wonderful encouragement in knowing that we're not the only ones, that the Lord has faithful witnesses all around the world, and we're grateful for that.
You know, Ephesians 6 speaks about how our battle and our wearing of the armor is not because we fight against flesh and blood, it's because we fight against a common enemy. We need the armor of God to stand together. My favorite part of this is the shield of faith, because the shield of faith is not just you holding one shield. It's you all holding shields of faith, in a sense, in that sort of that tortoise shell imagery of the Roman army, right? We all need our shield up in the right place to eliminate the fiery darts. I love that image. We need one another. We need other churches carrying out the one mission, the Great Commission, together. So in the midst of these things to which we're accountable, to our own walk with God, to our families, to serving our churches well, to relating to other churches well, as we're in the throes of that, Matt, we can get discouraged, can't we?
It's incredible. We can see even biblical characters getting discouraged. We can see great men from the past who serve getting discouraged. You know, it's legendarily said that Susanna Spurgeon would dress all in black as Spurgeon would go through these incredible deep times of discouragement, and she would dress in black as she would admonish her husband. He would ask, the great preacher, the prince of preachers, would say, who died? And she would respond, I believe God died in the way that you're acting. And so there was constant discouragement waiting for Spurgeon in the incredible things that God did. There was a massive spiritual warfare, but it's said that he would fill his bedroom, the walls, with scripture to encourage himself, and that others would encourage him, and that he would go into these great fits of discouragement in which he would lock himself into his room, and his wife would encourage him in that way and kind of admonish him at times. This is another element that is so vital in pastoral community. When we can get shut off from everyone else and we can get just involved in the next task ahead. I remember in seminary, papers were due. Well, Sunday's a coming. The most peaceful time in any pastor's life is Sunday evening after the sermons have been preached. There's a moment where you don't have anything to do, and you just kind of lay like Gumby until you can kind of recoup for just a moment, and then Monday comes. But having brothers in the ministry not only understand the talk, they understand the way to relate, they also help us think biblically. The Hartford Institute did some research, and they said that among pastors, half the clergy had thought about leaving their congregation or ministry altogether in recent years. And so there's a fellowship, if you will, of the discouraged, and helping one another think biblically is absolutely vital in pastoral ministry.
If we can just take a moment and say, thank you, pastors' wives.
Yes. Yes.
I had never heard that story about the Spurgeon family. And as I think of my own wife, how many times she has listened, and I'm talking lengthy listening, long listening without criticism, not just listening, but then bringing encouragement. Thank you to our pastors' wives. They have their own burdens that they bear, incredible burdens in this calling, and the way in which they are almost constant in encouragement is an incredible thing. But this Hartford Institute data, pastors saying that they're exhausted all the time, and then you have this incredible, I mean, this is an incredible number, Matt, 50% considering leaving their congregation or ministry altogether. This wasn't just a short study. This was a five-year study on how COVID-19 affected congregations. So what kind of reminder do we need in the midst of this kind of discouragement?
It's important for pastors to remember that you are there to lead. And so some of these expectations may be unbiblical. I mean, honestly, I had a professor that used to say, we're all going to be in theology 101 when we go to heaven. You know, it's important that in the midst of discouragement, yeah, you may have been treated poorly and they may have an unbiblical view of church. They may have an unbiblical view of the pastor. They may have an unbiblical view of multiple things, but that's why leadership matters. That's why you're there. I remember a friend who was ready to walk away from ministry in total. It was because the church was not what it was supposed to be. When we look to the scripture, the church is not going to be what it's supposed to be until the Lord Jesus glorifies it. It's important to remember that as we are facing discouragement, that's the very reason, the unbiblical nature of, and you can fill in the blank, is the very reason that we have been called there, and the very reason why it's important when we're preaching that we're preaching not opinions, but rather we're preaching the word. I mean, think about Paul, not long before he would be beheaded, tells Timothy, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. And so it is vital that when you have a community of pastors, that there's a reminder, the unbiblical nature of the theology of some, the unbiblical thinking, the unbiblical way of living is the very reason that you're there. And that's why what you're doing matters.
Your ministry is needed. Your ministry is needed. And you may feel like you're failing. I mean, we go through times where we feel like absolute failures. There's a reason you were called. And when we get in those dark places, we need help. We've already talked about our wives. We need help from our brothers, our co-laborers in ministry at other churches. There may be times, Matt, where we need a little bit stronger help. And I know there can be stigma with pastors and getting the help that we need. Hey, the scriptures recognize that we go into some pretty dark places. This is not something that scripture's naive about or ignorant about or silent about. There are those times when we go into those really dark places. I know we've had Pastor Brad on here about talking to our souls and getting the help that we need in pastoral discouragement. We look at 1 Thessalonians 5:11 through 14. It talks about encouraging one another and building one another up. What do you see in this text that sticks out to you?
As I think about this passage of scripture, I am reminded of the way things are supposed to be. And the very reason that Paul writes this is because that's not how things were. He tells us that the pastor is worthy of double honor. I mean, I think about the men who brought us the English Bible were tried as heretics. One was tried as a heretic after he died, years after he died, and his body was dug up and burned and the ashes dumped into the river. So remember, your reward is in heaven. And the reason that Paul writes these words, he tells them, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Why did he need to tell us there's a time you need to admonish, there's a time you need to encourage, there's some you need to help, and you need to be patient? It's amazing, as this message is brought in clay jars, let's put it that way, you and I all have the tendency to respond in ways it's not fitting of a Christian, not fitting as a follower of Christ or as a minister of Christ. We have to be reminded of these things. And often we're going to be mistreated. And I think we're going to see that even more as we see the day drawing near. And so we're going to need that community of pastors. We're going to need that encouragement. We're going to need that accountability. We're going to need to help one another think biblically when our tendency and maybe the pressure is to think and even lead like the world.
I want to say, I think there's one more thing I see in this passage, and I'm going to say, because I'm not currently pastoring, I'm sitting in the president's chair, so I feel like I can say this. Local church members have the great capacity and calling and opportunity to be fantastic encouragers and refreshers of their pastors, like no one else, perhaps. If you're a member of a church, this passage, 1 Thessalonians 5, 11, 14, it's speaking to you, speaking to me. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. I remember last year, Matt, when we were right around pastor appreciation time, I had a kind of a long monologue about this. It's important to appreciate your pastor and to show that and to verbalize that. Not because we need flattered, not because we need recognition even. Private encouragement can go a long, long way. But when the body comes together and encourages their pastor, that can be such a balm on the soul. Even just a moment of it can breed a lot of perseverance in a pastor's life.
Amen. That's exactly right. And there are folks who will bite you, and then there are folks who will be very encouraging to you. And as you pointed out, this is such a call for folks in the church to encourage their pastor. Rex, the community of pastors is an opportunity to keep one another accountable. It's an opportunity to encourage one another, and it's also an opportunity to challenge one another. One of the guys that's spoken at our conference on multiple occasions, who's been on this podcast, I'm sure we'll have him on again, is a dear brother, Desmond Barrett. Desmond will listen to this podcast, and I love Desmond because he's a ball of energy. He's Mr. Encouragement, and he's a Nazarene whom I love dearly. We went on vacation, and I had the incredible privilege to go down and spend a little bit of time with Desmond at his church and had a wonderful time, was ministered to, encouraged. And I only bring up that he's a Nazarene because I'm a Southern Baptist. We come from really different backgrounds, and I love talking to Desmond because Desmond is constantly challenging me in my own life. You need to write. You need to get busy on these things. You need to invest in this. But he's also challenging me in the things that he does with his church, because this is a brother who desperately wants to see lost people come to Jesus. He is really an expert in revitalization, and he's not just a guy who writes about it. He's a guy who does it, and he's done this in multiple churches, and he's doing it through evangelism. And so this fellowship that I have with my brother, who now lives all the way in Florida, he used to just be down the street, just down the street from where I am right now, and now he's in Florida. And he and I still talk on a regular basis. And anytime I talk to Desmond, I walk away encouraged. I walk away challenged. I wish I had the energy of Desmond. He just goes, goes, goes. But a lot of that's discipline, that he is a very disciplined guy who's investing in the right places. And so when we have this fellowship of pastors, even if it's by phone, even if it's on Zoom, they're going to challenge us to think in ways that we hadn't thought of before. And man, what an incredible blessing that is.
That fellowship challenges our thinking in a positive way. We see how our brothers are doing different things. You know, going back up to these things that we're accountable to, as we have fellowship with one another in the community of pastors, our thinking on my walk with God, how I'm doing with my family, how I'm serving my own church, how I'm relating to others, all that gets challenged, doesn't it? In a positive way. And we think of new approaches to how we're doing these things. What comes to mind as far as approaches?
Well, again, a lot of ministry was built around programs in the past. You need to buy this next program. You need to do this thing that another church is doing. And where I see God blessing right now is not the implementation of another program, but becoming intensely biblical. You know, folks say we don't want to go back to the past. So I'd like to go back to first century past and do things as much like the early church as we possibly can. And we see that. So there's an investment and a challenge. We can either stand back and curse the internet, or we can utilize what's in front of us to reach more people. I mean, it wasn't all that long ago that folks cursed telephone. I mean, think about that. I mean, they used to make a joke out of it on Little House on the Prairie when Harriet Olson would listen to the folks' phone calls because the switchboard was right there in her shop. I mean, it wasn't long ago. I can remember picking up the telephone and hearing somebody else's voice on it through a party line. And now that's gone by the wayside. I remember a church I served just before I got there. The pastor in the bulletin had a little article and he talked about the evils of the computer and how we should never use a computer. Well, that went away very quickly. You know, all of these things, it's been that way, whether it be with the Avenue of Music in Stravinsky's Firebird Suite opened, they rioted in the streets because the erratic feel. And there's always been this way, that the new thing was always challenged. Well, what if we use the new thing to further the gospel and ministry, community among pastors? We can get closed off and believe that we're the ones that are right and everybody else is wrong. Community among pastors helps challenge our thinking to move away from programmatic approaches to more biblical ones, to utilize what's going on today and our time for the furtherance of the gospel. I mean, the list really, Rex, just goes on and on.
So takeaways, Matt. You know, we've talked about accountability, we've talked about encouragement, and first of all, sort of the stats about discouragement, and then from where can encouragement come, and some challenges in the community of pastors, ways that we can faithfully keep each other accountable, encouraged, and challenged to faithful ministry. What are some final thoughts you've got about this topic of the community of pastors?
Among other pastors, we can encourage one another to be healthy physically, to be healthy emotionally, mentally, spiritually, be healthy. When we see one another going down that wrong road, we can come alongside of them and encourage them and maybe admonish them. And there may even be a time we need to rebuke them in order for their own well-being, not out of cruelty, but rather out of love, in order to help us get back on the road. Sometimes a pastor just needs somebody to listen to him, somebody who he doesn't have to explain things to, somebody who doesn't have to justify what's going on. But we have to practice those elements that keep us healthy. We need to exercise. We need to invest in our own lives spiritually, not just when we're writing the sermon. That's hard to do. That's a discipline. We need to eat well. Sometimes pastors eat their emotions. You know, it's easy to do that. I mean, I have a Dairy Queen that's not far from here. And by God's grace, Dairy Queen makes me sick, like physically ill. I love it. I absolutely love it. I think a peanut butter parfait, there's going to be those sanctified to marriage supper of the Lamb, I believe. I don't have any Bible for it. I just am pretty confident of that. But it's easy for pastors to eat their emotions, to feel things. I don't know how to explain that. And so they chomp down on the wrong food or too much of it, and just process their emotions by eating too much. That's not a healthy practice. That's going to limit your ministry. And we can encourage one another with that. You know, Rex, we've talked about the pastor's fellowship that we have at Tri-State Bible College. It's easy to not go to that because we have pressing issues. And those issues are going to always be pressing. Well, I mean, think about what Jesus said. The poor is always going to be among us. And so there's going to be those issues continually. We need to gather with other pastors, whether it be within your denomination. I think that's going to be healthy, but also people outside of your denomination who are going to challenge you. This doesn't need to be a combative time. It just needs to be an encouraging time, knowing there's going to be some things that we don't agree with. That's okay. We don't have to talk about the things we don't agree with if we can't do it in a civil way. Let's talk about the things that we do agree with. Let's be an encouragement to one another. We're not the only ones out there doing it in a way that's honoring to the Lord. There's a lot of folks out there doing that.
Yeah, I remember when I was in Illinois pastoring that, listen, the two closest pastors to me were part of the Association of Free Lutheran Churches. They were good men. Doctrinally, we had a lot of, not a lot of differences, but some pretty significant differences. But we made it a point to get together anyway. for breakfast here and there because we needed each other. We needed that time, and I always left encouraged. I always left feeling like I've got a couple friends nearby. And those two guys, closer to the end of my time there, they both ended up moving away. One went to Florida, and one went up to the seminary there, the Athelbus Seminary. I miss those guys when they were gone. So, you know, Tri-State, Matt, what we're trying to do is just create a space. We create a space on our monthly pastor networking coffees for people to just come have coffee and develop some friendships and talk. We don't have an agenda. We just get together and see what we want to talk about. Our dinners are going to be much the same, just sort of outside of the campus in each of the, you know, we'll do one in Portsmouth, one in Ironton, one in Ashland, one in Huntington in the coming year, starting in February. But just to give you space with other pastors to talk, and we'll pay for the food. That way you don't have to worry about that. But we do need this community, Matt. You've hit on something that we really should not neglect in our work.
And a lot of the churches and those folks that we're in community with are further away. And so whether we can get together at a luncheon like this, which are dinners, some coffee, or maybe it's over telephone or Zoom, we need those brothers in the ministry. We need those others in ministry who can encourage us and challenge us, keep us accountable. And we're going to walk away as better servants of Christ. Even though we may have some disagreements, we don't have to focus on those. We can focus on those areas where we do agree and just encourage one another to keep going when everything is telling you to quit. This tells us to keep going.
If we're not careful, we can find ourselves living on islands, separated from the people around us who want to support us. But life happens, and our nonstop schedules demand every waking minute we have. It's easy to put off making the effort to fellowship with one another. But especially for pastors, it's a dire need. Pastors need one another, and chances are, the pastor down the road is in the same boat as you. It might not hurt to check in and see how each other is getting along. There is growth and refueling to be had in sharing each other's burdens and experiences. Tri-State Bible College and the Appalachian Ministry Institute exist as a resource. And no matter what need you may have, Rex Howe and Dr. Matt Shamlin want you to reach out to them today. Rex Howe is the president of Tri-State Bible College. And you can connect with him by email at rex.howe@tsbc.edu. And you can reach out to Dr. Matt Shamlin at the Appalachian Ministry Institute by email, matt.shamlin@tsbc.edu. The Level Paths Podcast is an outreach of Tri-State Bible College and the Appalachian Ministry Institute.